This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Otago Access Radio, in partnership with Otago Polytech, brings you Blowing Bubbles. Blowing Bubbles brings you positive conversations with people in their bubbles around the world. How are people living their bubble lives? Working from home, keeping kids entertained, and staying connected and getting exercise. And how are these things presenting us with the opportunities to find new ways of living? Every weekday, the Sustainable Lens team of Samuel Mann, Shan Gallagher, and Mara Karatai reach out from their bubbles to chat with interesting and positive people around the world. Broadcast on Otago Access Radio 105.4 FM and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz and sustainablelens.org, bringing connection, joy, kindness and peace in the days ahead.
Welcome to Blowing Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. I'm Samuel Mann. I'm at Otago Polytechnic today, and I am joined by four final year nursing students who have just done an exciting project, and we thought it would be useful to get them in to have a chat. Welcome. I shall introduce you all on the way through. So, I'm going to start with Harriet Cuttons, and you're going to tell me where you grew up.
I grew up in Southland in Gawler.
What was that like?
Interesting, I guess. Small community. I didn't originally grow up from there. I travelled around a couple other small towns before we ended up there, so it's the first place we really settled.
What led you to nursing?
I spent a year at uni, my first year out of school, and wasn't for me, and was just exploring other options and found nursing and it stuck. So.
And Jazz?
Hi, I'm Jazz, and I grew up in Pukekohe, which is in South Auckland, well, south of South Auckland back then. Growing up there was quite alright, you know, we were free to do what we wanted as children because we were all, everyone was close, like you were close with your neighbours, so that was great. It was a great upbringing. You want to know what led me to nursing?
What led you to nursing?
Just personal experiences, like lots of adverse experiences led me to nursing. I originally wanted to be a midwife, but then I kind of, family members being sick and everything, and then, saw nurses in action, and then I chose nursing.
And Joel?
I haven't moved far. I was born in Dunedin, stayed around my whole life. All my family are in Dunedin, but been fortunate enough in my life to do a bit of travel and things as well, but Dunedin's always been home, and it's definitely a place where I do call home, and I've stayed, but I've looked around elsewhere, but I've always come back, to be fair. Why nursing? I mean much the same as Jazz, a lot of personal experience, but in all honesty, I went to school to eat my lunch. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. A real close friend of mine at the time was doing his registered nursing, so I kind of watched him do all his assignments and bits and pieces, and just thought that nursing would be something that I'd be interested in, but I couldn't do registered nursing straight away, so I went into enrolled nursing, and I've been working as an enrolled nurse I'm in my fourth year, and I thought if I don't make the jump now, I don't think I'll ever do it, so last year.
Congratulations. And Skylar?
For me, I'm very similar to Joel. I've grown up in Dunedin, Mosgiel, but pretty much my whole life. Same again, sort of, travelled around a little bit, but this is definitely the place that I call home. So,
And we are here because yesterday you presented your final report on the community project that you did, looking at Holyhead in Wales, where I was this time last year, I think. Yes, it was this time last year, and I met with Alan Roberts, who was your
stakeholder.
What did you think going into the project?
In all honesty, I was terrified because of how big the group was, and just past students that have done it before, you know, they're like waking up early to meet with the stakeholder or staying here late. But what terrified me was just the amount of people in the group. Yeah.
I think the thing for us, and like we discussed it a few times during the project, is at the start you don't really know what to expect, and you kind of think, is this going to turn out to be a waste of time, to be fair? Because being on the other side of the world, it's like you put all this time and effort into something and it's the unknown. You don't know at the start what you're actually going to get from it, and how it can actually affect people. But I think during it you do learn a bit about yourself as well, and that you can make an impact on other people if you do put your mind to it. And as Jess says, it was very daunting at the start when you get given a group of, what was it, 22?
Yeah.
With two subgroups of 11. Like, it's a lot of people and a lot of different dynamics. But yeah, so it was a very daunting start. But when you print it off and you're presenting and you can see it all in front of you and it's all complete, I can say that it was worthwhile, and you do actually get something from it, even though at the start you have no idea what you're going to expect and what's actually going to come from it and how you can affect people.
I think it like really came down to, yeah, just not having that sense of direction, not knowing really sort of what we were doing and where it was going to end up. Obviously the lecturers and, you know, everyone running it, they had done it previously, so they knew exactly, you know, what was sort of going to come out of it and how to explain things to us. But yeah, it was definitely tricky at the start, and having that bigger group, it kind of added a whole new degree of difficulty to it. But yeah, we got there, and yeah, definitely at the end, it was fantastic seeing the reactions, but we can get to that later on. Yeah.
Where are you hoping to take, I'll ask this of each of you, where are you hoping to work? And had you thought of community health, you know, the relationship between where you're hoping to go and community health, had you thought of that before?
I think I personally would quite like to end up in community primary health later on in my career. But I think especially when it came to presenting yesterday, it gave us a bit of a different outlook on it. Like, everyone sort of thinks that nursing is all about, you know, in there on the job, but really this sort of thing that we've done with the community project, this is what it's all about as well, involving the community, involving the people, and definitely sort of helping with the root of their problems. So yeah, that was definitely very, very interesting to look at it from a different perspective.
I'm currently working as a practice nurse, so I do work in the community, but I think doing a project like this, it makes you delve a little bit deeper into it, and you kind of, you break it down a little bit more rather than just seeing the patient, and you do your head-to-toe assessments and bits and pieces like that. But I wouldn't say, I think you kind of just do things without thinking about it. But when you're doing this project, you break down every little segment and you talk about it. So I think it just shows a whole different perspective.
And Jazz?
I'm still unsure of where I want to go. I don't know, in all honesty. So I'm just going to find out later on. Yeah.
Had you thought about community health as part of nursing?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I'm about the same as Jazz. There's a lot of areas that are sort of spiking my interest, but don't know where I want to go towards the end of this year. I think this project has opened my eyes to community. It was always an area that I did see that I could potentially end up in, if not at the start of my career, towards the end of it. But yeah, this project definitely allows you to experience the sides of community nursing without actually doing, you know, nursing, hands-on nursing skills. So let you dive deeper into what causes things which definitely, yeah, was interesting and I would see myself looking into in the future.
So beyond the first thought of, this is a big group, what are we going to do? You've got two aspects here. One of them is the whole community development stuff, which is outside your normal space. And also, what are you doing in Wales? How did you like come to how did you come to terms with that?
I think so the two other groups that were working alongside in the full placement, they both had somewhat local communities. So when we got told that we were being given a place on the other side of the world, it did feel very daunting, that's for sure. But really it comes down to our lecturer who was leading us through this project, Jean Ross. So it is her hometown. So it's, yeah, very close to her heart, that community. And I think it was really nice not only helping her but also helping the people that she really cares about. And also, to be fair, I don't know about the others here, but if we hadn't have been given that community, I probably would have never known it had existed. So, yeah.
Where do you start?
Well, we started off just obviously coming together as a group. Jean sort of discussed with us a little bit about the community, which is also when we met up with you briefly. So, yeah, learning about the community, looking at a foot survey, yeah, getting a bit of an understanding about the place and the people that live there, and also sort of delegating people into different areas of strengths so that we knew that once the project got rolling, then we could all sort of use our expertise to its advantage. So, yeah, we started off with that, and we first looked at a using the community assessment wheel, which involved various different points such as, to name a few, physical environment, education, transport, housing, health and social services, things like that, and also other things such as the history of the town, its location, the values and beliefs, and core organisations within the area, so that we could gain a comprehensive understanding of the community itself and what they're dealing with. So after that, it came to a SWOT analysis. And so, yeah, with this SWOT analysis, you are sort of able to identify strengths and weaknesses within the community, and that then led on to the rest of our project. So we took those strengths and weaknesses, and that's when we both split off into two separate groups to form a literature review and health promotion strategy based on those core things that we felt were important to us.
Let's take the first of your music choices. I've forgotten who wanted this one. Californian Dreaming. Whose was this?
Some guy crashed into my car on the second week of placement and that song was playing and I just heard it everywhere.
Yeah.
You talked about a foot survey and you do the community assessment wheel. Could you do that remotely? A foot survey sounds like a tricky thing to do from the other side of the world.
I'm very much a visual person. Like, I need to, for anything, especially this, for it to work, like, I'm not going to take much in if someone's talking to me about it. I need to, like, pictures. I need visuals. And, you know, like, when you showed us the link for the YouTube of someone walking through, and it just gives you a really good perspective. And you do get a lot from even just watching the people, you know, go about their daily lives. I know that when I've been different places, sometimes you just sit down with a beer or a coffee and you're just watching people go about their normal life. But I'm sat there thinking it's interesting, but they're just doing their daily tasks. So, I mean, things like that, you can get a lot of information from, you know, like whether it's a dirty city or whether people are in a hurry to get anywhere, whether it's like a busting metropolis. Obviously, Holyhead is far from, but you do get a lot from, you know, looking at pictures or hearing people's stories. And that's where, you know, like when you were talking about, you know, you go up the street and there's 100 kids going to McDonald's, you know, like it paints a picture. And then Jean's lived experience and then Ellen's lived experience as well. So, I mean, it all benefited the whole project.
I think too, just adding on to that as well, the internet is a very large place, and at times it was difficult to find certain things, but, you know, anything related to our community wheel, we were able to find information on through various different resources. So, yeah, we definitely all made it work, which was really cool.
So what were the health needs that the two different groups went down?
For, group three, me and Joel, we looked at community spirit, like, was really strong within the community. They had this great sense of belonging and pride, but also they had weaknesses such as poverty, opportunities that aren't being used within the spaces that they have, definitely some health issues within the community as well. And also we kind of wanted to look at regeneration of the community. That's what we looked at.
So myself and Jazz, we were the leaders of Team 4, and we identified that youth would be our population group that we were really keen on trying to make a difference for. So our research question was, what are the most appropriate ways of motivating the youth of Holyhead and the surrounding geographical area to improve their physical and mental well-being and increase employment? So just to touch on that, Holyhead is obviously an isolated community, so we really wanted to boost sort of motivation and well-being of the youth to sort of keep them in the area, to hope that they get jobs, to stay in education, which would also lead to improving employment. With just a really strong focus on the youth so that they don't feel isolated in their community.
You talked before about your feelings going into the project. What were you, can you try and think back to that sort of time? What were you thinking about it at that time? Were you thinking, yep, this is something we can actually make a difference here? Or did it start to rubber hit the road in terms of actually doing something?
I think at the start you do question how we can make any sort of effect on the other side of the world. But as you go through each process, and there were times where, I'm speaking from our group, but I'm going to assume it was probably the other group as well, is you kind of, you're thinking the end vision, but you've actually got to kind of wind it back and do the appropriate steps to get there rather than jumping to a conclusion. So, I mean, I know that I definitely jumped to conclusions a lot throughout the project, and we kind of had a vision. We were like, this is what we want to do. How can we affect our work so we can get there? But it's not actually making, you know, changing your work so you can get to the end product that you want, but putting, like, looking at all the steps and seeing, you know, what other differences that you can make along the way. But yeah, towards the end, definitely, and then to see Alan's response when he watched the presentation, it was, you know, I guess it was mind-blowing to a point, you know. and he was really appreciative of all the hours and things and all the effort that both groups have put in, and he's definitely going to take something away from that.
Yeah, it was definitely the game changer, I think. And I really wish that we had recorded his reaction to show everyone, and even in future years to be able to show that reaction, to have that incentive at the start to say, this is what you can do for people, so give it your all. Because for a community over there that's isolated and has a lack of funding and all of these various components that come into it, to be able to give so many hours of evidence-based research to him to help benefit his community and also Jean's community, it was fantastic, really heartwarming. So
in terms of the actual, do you call them interventions, the things you actually did, what did the two groups, what did you do?
So us as Team 4, we came up with the idea of creating an app called YouthLink, so really targeting the population group we wanted. So with that, we obviously didn't have the funds or the resources to create a proper functional app, but we created a prototype and laid it out exactly how we wanted, which is what we presented to Alan. So with ours, we focused on like quite a few key areas that we wanted to help youth, such as like community events, to involve them in the local community, employment opportunities, just to boost our end goal, which was employment, recipes, just for healthy lifestyles and living, peer tutors, which was just to boost education rates because they are quite low in Holyhead, physical activity, just again for mental and physical well-being, health information. As is isolated community, obviously they might not, the youth of Holyhead might not access health needs, so it's a safe space where there's easily accessible information on mental health and sexual health, which is just common areas of health for youth. We had the idea of an accomplishment board where youth could post and get recognition for their own achievements. Emergency services as well were ideas in the app. So yeah, the app was just a way we could collate all those ideas, have separate tiles, and a really easily accessible space for all of these health concerns that we'd identified to be improved.
We identified that the gaps within the community were lack of resources, poverty restricting access to healthy food and resources, and antisocial behaviour within the community, plus drop in employment opportunities. And also a big thing for us was they do have a lack of health services somewhat within the area as well. And so a lot of them being in poverty, they're leading unhealthy lifestyles, and don't have that access to healthy eating and those lifestyle choices to make that change. So after taking those, we decided that a community garden would strongly benefit the needs of the Holyhead community. We know that they have a strong sense of belonging and pride and community spirit, so that's really at the forefront of that community garden. Bringing everyone together, reducing their antisocial behaviour, getting everyone to work together, improve their lifestyle choices. That includes, you know, the exercise that they put in when they're travelling to and from, and also working at that community garden. But also they're able to get something out of it. You know, there's going to be produce coming from that community garden, fruit trees, vegetables, various other things, so they're able to take that away and then use that to provide healthy meals for their families, to you know, reduce the levels of obesity within that community. We also created a couple of other resources as well. I think it was
so we created like five recipe cards And within those recipe cards, we ensured that the produce that would be grown in the community garden would then link into the recipes. So, because we didn't want to supply them with recipes that were pointless, because we've got all this produce that would be growing and they wouldn't be able to be used in the recipe. So with this, we also found that funding was going to be quite a big issue. So we created a newspaper clipping or like a community resource where we're asking for funding for help to build, help to look after. In this resource, it also had job opportunities within the community. So it was kind of like a little community portal where you could put any relevant information that you wanted most of the community to see as well.
Bubble Sprite of the Forest of Orokanui, Dunedin's favourite goddess, Tahu Mackenzie.
Kia ora koutou, ngā mihi aroha nui kia koutou, ko tahu ahau. I hope you're all having the best day, beautiful superstars in your beloved universes. And I really hope, wherever you are and whatever's happening around you, this journey that we're all on together is proving to be very rewarding, very sustaining, and illuminating for you more and more each day who you are, a triumph of nature's art, perfect, unique, and here, making things better. Thank you. Now, I know that for us all, the last several years have been very tough, and it's so important that we give ourselves and each other the time, the space, the care, the compassion, the empathy, the understanding, the love, the support that we also richly deserve and innately can provide for ourselves and each other. All of us, of course, have our caretaker within. All of us, of course, have our witness within. All of us, of course, have our child within. And all of us, of course, have the eternal and infinite within us all. And all these different aspects come into play simultaneously and individually throughout our daily lives, and they are there to help us and to help each other. At the moment, I'm just loving being back at work, having lots of beautiful, beautiful, beautiful people come to visit me. I had Anderson's Bay School today, and we were focusing all on hapore, community. And of course, we are part of community Planet Earth. We are part of community Aotearoa New Zealand. We are part of community Ōtiporti's Dunedin. And we are part of community, our school, our home, and the community of our bodies, the community of our minds, the community of our inner landscapes, the community of our feelings, our hopes, our dreams, our desires. All of these parts of us are living and are changing and growing all the time. So it was a wonderful day and we had lots of fun. And at this time of year, of course, because we are moving towards autumn and Nahuruhuru, we are heading into a time when we want to gather those soft and downy feathers around ourselves and keep ourselves nice and warm, like the Haastokuika kiwi. And we are coming to a state of ripeness. There is ripe fruit everywhere hanging from the boughs of the trees. The birds are feasting upon it, doing lots of colourful poos everywhere and poo-lanting all the seeds from the trees. And we also see the maturation and the ripening of beautiful aquatic animals. So today we're having a wonderful time finding huge dragonfly larvae, which I love, and they do look like little dragons, and they're absolutely gorgeous. And all the children were very brave holding them in their hands under the water and being very gentle and caring with them. They're absolutely gorgeous. And we're seeing the maturation of the diving beetles, who I really love. And we're just seeing this real richness and abundance and fruitfulness of the autumn. So I really hope for you, you are enjoying this time, seeing your work paying off, seeing the effort that you have put in over the last several seasons now coming to fruition for you to enjoy, to nourish and sustain you as you move forward. There's also something I think that it's important to acknowledge at this time, which is that we are letting go of things and we are allowing those things which no longer serve us to return to the earth, to break down, to decay, and to feed new life. And part of letting go is grief and grieving for those things which whilst in the summer, in their blossoming, in their blooming, were so beautiful, now are wilting, now are changing in their form. But of course, nature shows us, nature reminds us every day that these cycles are part of who we are. And just like all living things, that we are growing and changing in every moment, and that we are safe to do this. We don't need to be afraid. So I really hope for you, wherever you are, whatever's happening around you, you're really enjoying acknowledging all of those different shapes and forms you yourself have moved through throughout your life to bring you to where you are now, this masterpiece. And of course, for me, being part of the show is a huge pleasure and privilege. So a huge thank you to Sam and the whole Blowing Bubbles team for having me. And I'll talk to you again soon. Thanks so much. Ka kite.
You're listening to Blowing Bubbles. I'm talking with four final year Bachelor of Nursing students, Harriet, Jazz, Joel and Skylar, who did their project, their community development paper project, working with the people in Holyhead in Wales. It's unlikely that any of you are going to be working in Holyhead. Hopefully you'll get to visit one day. What do you think you can take from working with the people in Holyhead for wherever it is you do end up?
I would say a different sense of appreciation, just from seeing, from having conversations with our stakeholder, Alan, that how he reacted to our health promotion strategies, and even in the first meeting when we first met him, just his appreciation that we were doing this work and doing this project for his community. So taking that forward, just almost just noticing that other people are, even if they might not display it, there is a sense of appreciation throughout any nursing care that's given. So if on the receiving end, everyone's usually appreciative to get help. So that'll be my key take, just acknowledging everyone else's appreciation.
My key take is I've kind of looked at it from a more broad perspective about rural communities or isolated communities where there's a complete lack of funding for such important and vital areas. Like even with nursing placements, like I was based in a rural community, and just things that we would have in a city that's close to town, you know, where you've got a hospital a stone's throw away, and you know you've got ambos, police, fireys, you know, everything is so close to you. But when you're in a rural isolated community, you seem to be left out. So there's a massive gap where there needs to be some more funding or some more input or something into these rural communities that are suffering. And especially we found out in Holyhead that the population is aging as well. And when you're so far away from all these resources, it does get dangerous, and there's only so far that you can go. So I think, yeah, for me, it's just trying to figure out whether something that I do in my practice or something that others can do in my practice would benefit rural communities, because, as I say, like, there is such a massive gap when it comes to an isolated community.
Do you think you got any insights into working with New Zealand communities by working with a community on the other side of the world?
I think that you'd find that a lot of the things that we did find out about Holyhead, you know, looking at those strengths and weaknesses and various different things, there will be some similarities between that community and a lot of communities here. And I think just keeping that in mind, these are the things that we may not have thought about beforehand, but now that we have done this and, you know, potentially some people might be moving into roles in community health, thinking about these things that we've learned from this project that we would have been unaware of before.
Did it change anything for any of you about the relationship between community and your practice, whether or not you end up working in community practice or not? Has it given you a different perspective about community?
A lot of it came down to the fact that for that community with, you know, all of those factors that we've mentioned earlier, like the lack of funding and being rural, isolated, we are advocating for them. And that's such a large part of, you know, like community health and nursing and everything, being able to advocate for those people that may not have the means to do it themselves. So that I think that that's really important.
Yeah, and also maybe just reorientating them to what's there. You know, their support organisations, they already have, that's their strength in Holyhead. And they can, you know, our job pretty much was we were just reorientating the youth to what services were already there.
I'm going to take the second of your music choices. Again, I don't know whose this was. Kid Leroy, still yours.
Yeah, so basically it's just a tune that I've been rocking out to in the car lately, to be fair. I was scrolling Amazon Prime because Netflix wasn't doing the job for me, and I came across his documentary, and it was quite eye-opening, and that's just one of the songs in it. So if you're looking for something to watch, then Amazon Prime for his documentary is definitely a winner.
When I last saw you at the house on the hill, my head was spinning and my body was still. That is over the chills I feel. My stomach twists and turns whenever I think about you laying up and next to someone like him. I know that it's been over for some months, but I feel I'm still. I'm still yours. Tell me where I go wrong. I'm riding this to let you know. I'll do anything but let you go. We're in control. The only way that I'm not strong. I'm riding this to let you know. I'll do anything but let you go.
You've successfully got through this project. Do you have any ideas for next year's students that will help them?
So upon completion of this, we kind of got together and we wanted to kind of reiterate the things that we'd come across, but also the things where we found that needed a little bit more work. So the three main things that we came up with as two groups were the establishment of activity groups, more youth events, and the beautification of the main street, being Market Street. But in order to resolve these issues, a lot of it was related to funding, volunteers, business influences, but then you've got potential vandalism. So I guess to kind of stick down the path of beautifying Holyhead in general was, we think, a good way to go.
For other students doing other community projects, how would you tell them to suggest that they might approach their project? Is there a particular mindset that you might go into it that you would think that would make it better?
Stay open-minded.
Yes, definitely 100%. Growth mindset. Always like learn, you know, be eager to learn because you are with a bunch of other people that may have strengths that you might miss out on if you don't utilise them.
Yeah. And think about it from the point of view of who's receiving the information and who's receiving all your hard work, rather than thinking about it from your own perspective the whole time, thinking, you know, what am I going to get from this, or how is this actually going to benefit others?
And I think too, just remembering, bringing yourself back to why you're doing this qualification in the first place. You know, this is what nursing is about. It's about helping people, and yeah, I think
And don't take on all the work for yourself. It's never going to work out.
Share the load.
I know it's hard to predict what you're going to think about this project in 5 years' time, but I'm going to ask you to do it anyway. What do you think you might look back on this project?
I think, you know, working as a team, just making sure that everyone, like, you know, in future we'll be working in teams wherever we end up, and just making sure that everyone feels comfortable and heard, and, you know, for everyone to achieve the same goal, we all have to work together collaboratively to reach that. So, yeah.
It's character building. Very character building.
It really is.
So I have some questions to end the show, and we don't have time to ask every question of everybody. So we'll have to figure out how we're going to do this on the way through. Some questions we shall do for everybody. What's the biggest success you've had over this project?
I would just say the feedback we got at the end, and how that made us all feel like we'd actually made a difference and actually sort of gave us some consolidation at the end of it, because most of the way through we're just like, no one's really going to care what we're doing. And then once we actually finished it and realised that people actually do care and it will make a difference, it's definitely the biggest success. Yeah.
Is that making a difference a big driver for nursing? Is that why you're in it?
To an extent. It's not always making a difference in your own, because obviously, like, we were able to sort of go off on our own and create the difference ourselves, but as a whole of nursing, it's more of making a difference in individuals' lives to better themselves, not just, you know, the end result that we were hoping for. It's just the best result for each individual person.
So I'm writing, or we're writing, a book of these conversations. It's called Tomorrow's Heroes. It's our team of people doing good work. So you four are most definitely in that team. I want to know what your superpowers are.
Can't say I've ever been asked that question
That's
before.
That's why I asked it. If you say flying or laser eyes,
damn,
I'm going to ask for a real one.
Is that a superpower?
What's that?
Resilience.
Absolutely.
I mean, my car got crashed into. It was heating up. It was overheating all on this placement. And I got through that.
Well done. That's one.
I'd say to an extent mine would be honesty. I think in the field of health, sometimes people just need to be told the, you know, the honest truth about the end outcome. Obviously not as blunt as I've just put it, but, you know, You need to be told realistically what could happen in order for people to make a change. So I think in our project we were honest. You know, it's like, these are the things that are wrong with this community. These are the things that we think could benefit it, and these are your options on how you can change.
I think for myself, I want to go for leadership. I really surprised myself actually with the way that I led our group through this project, and I feel really proud to be able to say that this is the work that our group has produced.
Wow, amazing.
Yep, you're still there.
I don't have an exact word for it, but it's more of like throughout this project, I found as if I, you know, was getting pushed outside of my comfort zone, and I noticed that, you know, quite a lot of people in our group also getting that way as well. So I was being comfortable with getting uncomfortable to make, you know, a difference in this project, and to also as leaders to guide people who are outside of their comfort zone to thrive and make a difference. So I don't know how to put that under a specific word, but that was sort of me.
Is it courage?
Yeah, to an extent. Courage in myself, and then also courage to guide others. Yeah.
So do you consider yourselves to be activists? It's radio. You can't just nod.
Yeah, 100%. You know, we got the resources. We made health promotion from that, and that's us, activists.
So what motivates you? What gets you out of bed in the morning?
For me, it's I love my job. My job is... It actually keeps me going. Like, I love helping people. So to continue my study, to learn more, to grow myself and to help more people, I'd say that's the reason I get out of bed in the morning.
Yeah.
And my fiance, I've got to say that, because she'll probably hear this on radio. So she, yeah, I get out of bed for her, yep.
Yeah, I'm similar to Joel. Self-growth through this. Personal development is always key.
So what's the biggest challenge or opportunity you're looking forward to in the next year or so?
I would say it's probably, well, definitely for me, I don't know about the others, but joining the workforce and where that's going to take us. Obviously, nursing's sort of an endless career, whereas like we might go into something next year and that probably won't be where we end up. But, yeah, just where it's going to take us and what we've learned from this project to then put into our career.
Yeah, kind of like Harriet. Nursing is endless.
All right, I shall ask each of you if you have any advice. No, I'm not going to ask you if you have any advice. I'm going to ask you for some advice for our listeners. I'm going to start at the left end, because you were hoping I'd start at that end.
I would say just if you're presented with an opportunity, just to, you know, keep an open mind, take it with two hands and see where it takes you. Because, yeah, even though this wasn't, you know, my biggest, I wouldn't say I was looking forward to this placement as much as my others, but now that I've gotten through it, it will probably be one of my highlights of the year.
You want me to go to Joel first? I'm coming back, though.
Mine would probably be, you don't know what you'd miss out on if you turn something down. So for me, I'm not one to say no to opportunities, because I always think about what I could miss out on if I do say no. So it's all about throwing yourself in the deep end, because to be fair, sometimes that's where the best learning comes from, when you're out of your comfort zone and you really don't want to do something. But the thing is, it is just jump in head first and just do it and get it done and see what you can learn from it.
Skylar?
For me, I think it's just keeping aware of things that are going on within our community, throughout the world and everything. We live in a very privileged place here, and so just being able to gain a bigger insight into their community, and, you know, there are definitely some less fortunate things going on there, just being aware of those and taking it back and just remembering how privileged we are.
Jazz?
Just trust yourself, you know, that's pretty much it. Trust yourself, you can do the best that you can. That's what I do.
Thank you for that. Thank you for all of those four good bits of advice there. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
thank you
so much.
After talking with Harriet, Jazz, Joel and Skylar, the leaders of the community project teams, and hearing how taken they were with the response from their stakeholder, I thought I'd give them a ring. So here's Alan Roberts from the Mond Communities Forward.
Truthfully, I didn't know what to expect. I'd never done this before, so completely new territory for me. And yeah, I was just blown away, to be honest. initially when I had a feedback session with the students, I was in a bit of shock, to be honest with you, because I just couldn't believe the amount of research and amount of work that had gone into their presentation. I was, you know, not dumbfounded, but I was just trying to absorb it all because it was so in-depth and full of enthusiasm from their part. And I still can't get my head around that, you know, your students are in New Zealand and I'm in a little town, village in North Wales, you know, across the world from you. And they've been able to come with, up with unbelievable amounts of data to start off with, but also insights and recommendations, which we'll definitely be taking on board here. So, yeah, I'm still blown away. I've had an opportunity to read the whole document the other day. It took me a while. But, you know, the amount of research, I know it's expected of students. However, I just couldn't actually comprehend the level of detail they've gone into. And funnily enough, on Friday, I had a meeting with somebody who I've known for a number of years, who's working for Cambridge University currently. And they're doing a big research project on the Isle of Anglesey. And I said, you need to see the piece of work that Otago students have done regarding Holyhead. And she's from Holyhead herself. So I think she's quite keen to see that as well, because they're collecting a lot of data. And I'm definitely certain that the information that Otago will produce will be of real interest to them. So that's an aside. But I'm so eager now to share this information with not just colleagues, but also people that, like myself, are trying to make a difference in our locality. And I'm sure they'll be just as blown away by the information in it. And what I said before, still stands, is it's the suggestions that they've come up with, two key suggestions that I think definitely one of them, which is the app, we will have to adopt that here, because it just opens so many doors for different issues. And it's actually so current in terms of technology and how young people in particular access information. So that is something, to be honest, that wasn't on my radar as a way to engage local people and to move the poverty agenda forward, especially, but just general degeneration and getting people engaged. I think it's just my generation probably don't see the value of apps so much, but I definitely have had my eyes open by the work that the students have done. So top marks really to them for the amount of effort, the amount of work, the diligence they put in. Obviously they've been guided by some amazing people, and it's just so inspiring really. As I say, I'm still trying to get my head around all the information that's been produced, and it will be so useful coming for me going forward in terms of how it colours the way I do stuff, and also applications I'll make for funding to actually move things again in a different direction potentially, but still work in progress from my end. But it's just been that sort of jolt really to give me more impetus, because I've had it on in years now, and I thought that I'd learned everything in life, but no. And this has just been another jolt, as I say, impetus for me to carry on and do things in a slightly different way.
You've been listening to Blowing Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. Brought to you by the Sustainable Lens team, which is brought to you by Otago Polytechnic. We're broadcast on Otago Access Radio every Wednesday afternoon at 3 and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz. We had a contribution today from Tahu McKenzie. This is Gregory Isaacs, Night Nurse. I've been joined today by Harriet Cuttance, Jazz Dikani, Joel Tyson and Skylar Stadnick. They are all final year Bachelor of Nursing students at Otago Polytechnic. I'm Samuel Mann. That was Blowing Bubbles. We hope you enjoyed the show. Mā te wā. My night nurse. Oh gosh. Oh, the pain is getting worse.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.